Our next article is called A Sustainable Campus, How ELCA Schools Are Working Toward Climate Change Justice. It's written by James Jones, copy editor for the Strategic Communications Team in the ELC Mission Advancement Office. Like so many other ministry concerns in the ELCA, Care for Creation has been dealt a blow by COVID-19. Images of clearing skies over the world's cities have awakened people to the possibility of the planet healing, but these gains will vanish as economies get back to business. New workplace guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend plastic water bottles over drinking fountains and single-occupant car travel over public transportation. And the canvas tote bag, the nationwide ambassador for sustainable living, is no longer welcome at many grocery stores. Advocates have no choice but to regroup, strategize, and attack the problem anew. Sustainability is about reality, said Jim Martin Schramm, professor of religion and the sustainability coordinator at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. You can't just wish something away. You have to face the facts. Luther was one of five ELCA colleges and universities recognized for their sustainability efforts in the most recent index of the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education, along with Concordia College in Moorhead, Gettysburg College in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Muhlenberg College in Allentown, PA, and Susquehanna University in Sullings Grove, Pennsylvania. The annual index ranks schools' environmental impact across 17 categories, ranging from campus operations to academics to administration. Luther earned a gold rating and ranked 9th overall for baccalaureate institutions. Martin Schramm credits the school's success to a whole institution that understands the wisdom as opposed to the greener-than-thou minority. In 2006, he learned that Richard Torgerson, now retired as president of Luther, wanted to sign the American College and University's president's climate commitment, which called for a voluntary 100% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030. Martin Schramm said he'd been trying to persuade Torgerson to sign a 6% carbon reduction agreement based in Chicago, but it hadn't gone anywhere because the Board of Regents wasn't interested in something that was legally binding. By contrast, the president's commitment was voluntary, yet Luther proceeded to cut its carbon footprint by 60% versus the 6%. In retrospect, he said, "What we've all come to realize and that we're all a lot further down the road in terms of cutting our carbon footprint because we took on a morally aspirational goal rather than a legally binding commitment." Torgerson's pledge coincided with the launching of a strategic plan for the college and incorporating sustainability efforts into its comprehensive business development that has allowed Luther to dream big. On the north edge of campus, the student housing complex Baker Village provides power for 112 seniors and their phones by way of a 280-kilowatt solar array. The complex's common building and townhouses are heated and cooled by geothermal energy, and residents can access websites called Energy Genius to monitor their individual energy consumption. On a bluff west of campus, the college's wind turbine generates 3.6 million kilowatt hours annually, about 27% of Luther's power consumption, and has reduced the school's carbon footprint by about 10%. A for-profit corporation, the Luther College Wind Energy Project, was founded to complete the $3.2 million project. Luther has done more in terms of actually affecting the infrastructure of the college than probably any of our campuses, said Mark Wilhelm, executive director of the network of ELC colleges and universities. Others have done it through building construction and following sustainability standards and the like. But I don't know if any of the campuses have quite incorporated it as extensively as Luther. The AASHE awarded another gold rating to Muhlenberg, which scored high for water conservation and rainwater management. Kelina Prochik, the college's sustainability coordinator, said the school had already upgraded the plumbing in campus buildings with low-flow toilets, faucets, and showers, when about 5 years ago, it took a hard look at the welter of water hoses supporting its extensive, beautifully landscaped college green. Working closely with the director of grounds, an experienced landscaper, the school developed a policy that favored plants needing less water and grass that would tolerate different water cycles and thrive without herbicides and pesticides. The grounds crew installed self-watering planters, which captured rainfall and can feed it to plants for weeks afterward. Another dramatic increase in water use came at the campus steam plant, where a new organic additive allowed the area's hard water to be reused many more times without causing mineral buildup in the system. Prochik said she is most proud of Muhlenberg's recent announced partnership with three area schools, Lehigh University, Lafayette College, and Dickinson College, to collectively purchase renewable energy from a solar farm being constructed in Texas. The 15-year commitment to commence in 2 years not only enables the schools to prevent more than 70,000 metric tons of carbon emissions annually, that's like taking 15,000 cars off the road, but will provide them with internship opportunities and research data. Because the solar energy is used where it's produced and the schools are reimbursed with renewable energy credits, they thought long and hard about where to site the farm. The Mid-Atlantic grid was actually a less carbon-intensive grid, so if we sited the college there, we would be taking less dirty energy off the grid, Prochik said. Siting it in Texas, which has a very fossil fuel intensive grid, we would be able to take more fossil fuels out of that grid. Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, California, has just established a concentration in climate justice and faith with courses available at PLTS, Graduate Theological Union, and the University of California at Berkeley. In the 2021-22 academic year, PLTS intends to debut a master's degree in spirituality and social change for students seeking ordination as deacons or those preparing to serve the world in other ways. The concentration is open to all Master of Divinity students and to those in the new master's degree. Cynthia Mo Lobita, professor of theological and social ethics at PLTS, hopes the program will produce leaders who can rally their congregations to the challenge of climate change, especially as it intersects with gender, racial, and economic injustice. She said her first students in the new concentration were surprised by the tremendous resource that Lutheran theology can provide for the work of climate justice grounded in the Christian faith. Also, they seemed delighted and hungry to learn about practical ways of working for structural change, for social change, and then linking that intimately to the gospel. That sort of grounding will be critical to anyone who is passionate about climate change, who answers a call in a community daunted by the challenge at hand. One approach is to start with how the climate crisis will impact the lives of people in that community or other people whom they love, she said. Another is to look at what it means to love our neighbors as ourselves, which is so essential to and central to our Lutheran theology when so many other neighbors are being devastated by climate change. For Mark Wilhelm, preaching stewardship of the earth is like sustainability, a matter of facing facts. The key in any ministry is telling the truth. If the sea levels rise as they're predicted to rise, we will be facing increasingly complex issues around this matter. What will pastors in Miami do when it's time to relocate Miami, if in fact that comes to happen? As the pandemic has proved, the future can arrive sooner than anyone expected.